Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab your Bibles, Brother Patterson, you come on and tell us the old, old story. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Amen, brother.
Last preacher, amen. Praise the Lord. Hang on to that. Thank you. It's always good to have help to get up on the step. Amen. You know, I found out today, I thought I was being a good boy, you know, so a while back I bought some vitamins, and these men's super vitamin B vitamins, you know, and I started taking them a while back, and the doctor told me to take fish oil, and so I've been taking fish oil, and man, my gout's just been killing me, and found out that the fish oil is not good for my gout, but neither is vitamin A, neither is vitamin B3, and there was one other we saw in there. Well, there was three of them. That's vitamin B3, isn't it? Yeah, but there was one other I thought. There was three things in there in the vitamins, and I've been taking them for the last week, you know. No wonder my gout's killing me. Good night. It's feeling a little bit better tonight. I can stand on it, amen. Last night we were in here after everybody left. I took off my shoes, man. I had a hard time getting my foot out of my... And I told her on the way up to the trailer, I says, I don't care how wet it is. I ain't wearing my shoes out that door, man. I walked down to my stocking feet, and I looked like a hillbilly. And I told her tonight, I said, man, if my foot's bothering me like it was last night when I get up here behind the pulpit, I'm just going to grinch once, take off my shoes, stand up here and preach. Nobody's going to know the difference until I'm done, amen. Well, praise the Lord. God's good. It's good to be in the house of God again this evening in Matthew chapter 2. Boy, I felt so sorry for your pastor today. I was getting in my truck to go pick up our groceries up at Walmart. They have that, what do they call that, Jenny? It's a grocery pickup. You order your groceries online, and then you go right there, pull into the thing, they'll bring right out to you, you know. And that way I got in the truck, went up there, didn't have to get out of the truck. Didn't have to open up a door of the truck. All I had to do was roll down the window and tell the guy to get on the other side, amen. Went back through there, went through Tim Hortons, didn't have to get out of the truck. You know, got myself a black iced coffee. And I got half of it in the refrigerator. I'm going to suck on that tonight, brother, amen, when we're done. And then I got all the way home, and all I had to do was get out of the truck one time. Get out of the truck and give her some groceries. And I was all set, amen. Well, I like that kind of shopping, hallelujah. But I was getting in the truck out here, and your pastor was getting on his motorcycle, and it just started raining. And I did say, would you like a ride somewhere? And he said, no, I'm going to beat it down there, you know. Well, he did pretty good, but I think before he got to the end of the road, it started dumping, man, I'm telling you. Because it rained so hard by the time I pulled out here, you could hardly see 10 foot in front of your vehicle, you know. I'm thinking, poor fella, man. I felt about that bad for about that long, just that little bit, brother, amen. Well, I know what that's like. I rode my motorcycle in Michigan one time, brother, in November, and it was snowing, you know, and brought my motorcycle back from work. It was so cold that it didn't want to start at work, you know, and it finally got it started, and driving down the road, I had a pair of these coveralls on, and I had a pair of boots on, I had gloves on, I had a scarf around my neck, had my helmet on, had a face mask on. Had to go about 10 miles, I'm shaking half to death before I get home, get out the motorcycle, can't hardly open up the door to get in the house, you know. Well, I know what it's like to be on them in the weather, amen, but I know you had fun, you enjoyed it. Yeah, you thought that suit needed a shower, and it got one, amen. Matthew chapter 2 with me. I don't know what I told you if I said Matthew chapter 2 yet or not, but I want to go over to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to ask if you would stand with me for a few moments as we read here just a couple of verses out of Matthew chapter 2. I want to look at this thought with you this evening. I'll give you the thought in just a moment, but you know when these men came from the east to bring gifts to Jesus, and they come up before Herod, and he says, "When you find him, you tell me where he's at." And they perceived. I mean, they knew. They understood what he was looking for. But if you come down to, it says, "When they had heard the king, they departed." And verse 9, "And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Father, thank you for your precious word this evening, and I pray that we'd use it to challenge us, Father, tonight, please, one more time, and that you'd have the glory and the honor, Father, and that you'd just be lifted up upon high tonight, Father. Again, Lord, as I look out this evening, probably everybody in here knows Christ as their Savior, but if there's anyone that has a question, Father, in their mind about that, help them to get that settled tonight. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin tonight, I want to speak to you a message that I've simply entitled, "What is Giving?" What is giving? And whenever you're in a church, pastor, if you're an evangelist, you begin to say about giving, people antennas start to go up and say, "Oh, now here goes another message on tithe, and here goes another message because he wants money." He's as some have called them missionaries or evangelists, moochinaries, amen. And no doubt, pastor, there are probably some of them out there like that, amen. But this thought here tonight, I want to look at a few things with you, and it's going to entail a lot of thoughts, so bear with me until we get to the end of the message, amen. So bear with me, and hopefully this will help you as a child of God. Not just finances, amen, at all. I want to just look at a few things. Now, here, number one, I want to speak to you for a few moments, and the first point, if you're taking notes, write this down. Giving in worship of God. Giving in worship of God. Here we see in this text, the Bible says again, they opened up their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Some would have these gifts to be emblematic of the divinity of his regal office and the manhood of Christ, but it says they offered him incense as their God, gold as their king, and myrrh as united to a human body subject to suffering and death. And I'm not sure who wrote that, pastor. It might have been Alfred, and commentaries you read, or one of the other writers from the past. It surely is not mine, amen. Everything I get from somebody else. They say if you take from one, it's called plagiarism, amen. But if you take from many, it's called research, amen. So I try to do research, amen. And sometimes I get from one, but I've done my research to get from that one. And so I look at it. God's good, isn't he? Yeah. And so here they gave their gifts. It came as an act of worship to God. Worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches you and I here in this text. They worshiped him in the middle of the text, and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they worshiped him and then opened their treasures and gave them to him. In Matthew chapter 5, if you would go there with me just for a moment, Matthew chapter 5, and let's go down to verse 21 of the book of Matthew. In chapter 5, Matthew, he's talking about those who are dealing with each other, brothers fighting, and one who would say rack, one who would say this, one who would say that. But if you come down to verse 23, after all these things are being said, he says in verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." He says, leave it there at the altar. You give it, you leave it there. But if you remember, can I make a statement to you? If you offended somebody, you remember it. Yeah. Amen? If you've hurt somebody, you know it. If you've offended them, you know it. There's none of this game stuff. If I offended you, if I hurt, no. If you have, you know it. Amen. Now, some people might take offense to something you say, and you didn't intend on hurting them or intend on offending them. But he says, if you remember that someone has aught against you because of something you have done, he said, when you bring that gift, he said, leave there thy gift, go and reconcile to your brother, then come and offer that gift. What you do then is you say, God, thank you that I had the privilege to give to you something that belongs to you and not me. He didn't say take it back with you, amen. He didn't say don't give it. He said, go and make that thing right with your brother as a child of God, as a born-again believer. He said, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Well, I tell you what, my friend, what is giving? Giving is an act of worship of God. And in that text right there, we understand that we cannot worship God with a heart that is not right. Amen. If its heart's not right, then it's not going to be an act of worship of God. We need to make sure our heart's where it ought to be as a believer in Christ. This text of Matthew 5 at the Sermon on the Mount will need to support the idea of worshiping the Lord with a gift and not with a sacrifice. There's a difference, amen. This is a gift and not a sacrifice. A gift and not a sacrifice. In fact, Pastor, this is probably above and beyond even the tithe, amen, that he's talking about here. But we could include tithe, we could include sacrifice, we can include gift. Any giving to God ought to be as an act of worship. Giving your time, giving your talents, giving your treasures ought to all be an act of worship from you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You come to the house of God to worship a holy God, amen. And when you come and you work on the building, you work around the property, and I know you don't have a lot of property here to work on, but you work on, you got a lot of building, amen. Especially when you walk down that back area, amen. Tracy, I hope you come over and help me about 11 o'clock Saturday morning, amen. Because I do not want to walk down them steps. You might be dragging me back up, hallelujah. See, I got my help, so everybody else can stay home. Tracy's going to come and do it. Just kidding, amen. If you want to come and help, everybody's welcome to come and help. But I know I can ask him. I know he's not very far up the road, amen. I don't think he is. Now, that's if devil let him go. I know she's working on that house. So. All right, you're going to sacrifice for me. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate that, amen. So sometimes as we look, then giving is not always sacrifice. Here he's dealing with the idea of a gift. But anything, time, treasure, talent, anything like that, ought to be done with the right heart in worshiping the Lord. You remember in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 8, you remember that little fella in there that climbed up in the tree? Remember what his name was? What was his name? Zacchaeus, remember? And Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree, and when the Lord Zacchaeus come down, I'm going to go to your house. And so he went to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, man, Zacchaeus got some things settled with God that day. Zacchaeus, boy, he got a heart that wanted to worship God and follow God and give for God. And Zacchaeus made this statement in Luke 19:8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. And I don't think he stood up to announce it to all the people. I don't think that's what his idea is. Oh, behold, Lord. That wasn't Zacchaeus. Not here. Zacchaeus was humbled, man, because of what took place that day with him. And I think that Zacchaeus stood up and just talked to the Lord alone for a little bit. He said, Lord, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Then he says this, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now you know what that means? Zacchaeus remembered. He remembered. There's one or two times, Pastor, maybe not every time, but a couple of times there where Zacchaeus, and this came to his benefit. He was able to make money, maybe by usury. No matter what it was, maybe by some kind of an investment in somebody else. But he said, if I've taken anything wrongfully, I'll get, Lord, fourfold. You know, here's the thing. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give half of what I want. I'm going to give it to the poor. He hadn't been doing it. He said, I'm going to give it to the poor. Now, here, watch this. He's going to give it, but he's got to have his heart right with God first. So he says, I'm going to give it, but Lord, I'm going to give back fourfold. Now let me say this to you. And Just so you know where my heart's at on this. Some people sometimes they say, let me go back. I had a guy tell me one time, he gave me a trailer years ago, Pastor, a little fifth wheel trailer about 24 foot long. Him and his wife, he was a retired postman, and he called me on the phone one day. In fact, his pastor called me and said, yada, 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 he wants to give you a trailer for your ministry, and he said that you probably won't be able to use it because it's so short, so small, no air conditioning, no slide outs on it. And I said, man, I said, what do you want me? He said, you can sell it, amen. And so I looked at the price of it, and I found out I could get $49.95 out of it, you know, $4,995, and use it for a down payment on my truck, you know, or my other trailer that I was getting ready to purchase. And so he gave me the trailer. When I went to pick it up, I told him, I said, you know, you don't have to. He said, preacher, listen to me. He said, I've been saved for a long time. He said, and I never tithed as a postman. I just never tithed. And he said, God convicted my heart so greatly. And he said, I know that, he said, I'll never be able to make up for what I did not do, but I can sure do my best right now, and I'm giving you the trailer. Amen? You see, he knew now that if he's going to tithe, if he's going to do anything, his heart has to be in the right relationship with God. I'll tell you what, preacher, sometimes people say, I can't, you're right, you can't make up. You know what? But you can start fresh now and do it from here on out, amen. Do right now as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's like anything in our life, we can do right now. We can't make up for what we did not do or make up for what we have done, but we can sure do right now from here forward, amen, as a child of God. Zacchaeus understood that, I believe. It should be done willingly, according to 2 Corinthians. Your act of worship to God and giving should be done willingly. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That not according to what he does not have. He said, what he has. He said, you give willingly according to what you have. That's why some people I know, pastor, can give a lot more than some other people I know. Because they have. But the point is, no matter what you have, you give out of that. Amen. You give according to what the Lord has put on your heart. You give your tithe. Give your offering. Give. Amen. And then sometimes you have to give sacrificially. We'll get to that point in a little while. I was in the camp in Florida. I preached there one time. I was there for the summer. That's the wrong time to go to Florida, July and August, amen. So I was in this camp in Florida in July and August, a CBM camp, this Children's Bible Ministry camp, and I was there for, I don't know, about 4 or 5 weeks. Then I had 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And they were boys and girls mixed, you know, and they had separate areas for them all, girls on one side, boys on the other. But at chapel, they were all in a chapel together. And I'm out after I was preaching one night, I was sweating up a storm. I looked like a sweat hog. I'm not kidding you, man. I mean, it was just running off me. I go outside, and there was a nice little shade tree. There, a breeze was starting to come off through the air, and you can smell the orange grove down the road, just a... that fragrance from that orange grove, beautiful smell, you know. And so I sat on this bench, and this little fifth or sixth, I think she's about a sixth grade girl, came out, and she sat down next to me, and she says, Pastor. They call me Pastor for the week when I was at camp, for the weeks, you know, I was there, you know, Pastor. Now, on Thursday night, this was a Thursday night, they told the kids on Thursday night, Thursday afternoon, go to the concession area where all your money is kept. And they would always encourage the kids. And that week I was the missionary speaker and the preacher. They usually have two separate guys there, but I did both. And so they encouraged the kids on Thursday to go get all money they have left. And then give that to the missionary on that night. And she sat down next to me. She said, Pastor, she says, I couldn't do anything. All I had left was 32 cents. And I didn't think God could do much with 32 cents. And I didn't say anything, you know. I said, well, God bless you, you know, and I hope things work out well for you. And that's all she said. She just got and left, you know, type of thing. And I got to thinking about this. If 10 people said that, there's $3.20 that the Lord ain't going to get. If 100 people say that, there's $32 that the Lord's not going to get. If 1,000 people say that, that's $320 the Lord's not going to get. If 10,000 people say that's $3,200 the Lord's not going to get. He can use anything that you can put in. Amen? That act of giving above and beyond the tithe, above and beyond the sacrifice that you need to come through in your life sometimes. So I preached this just recently here, preacher, at a church in Pennsylvania. And I come out of my trailer one night. I was preaching the first night I was preaching. I come out of my trailer. I didn't preach this message yet, and I come out, and there was 4 pennies laying on the steps of my trailer, and so I picked them up and I put them in my thing in the trailer. I made mention of that, and I said somebody gave me offering on at the steps of my trailer. Praise the Lord! And I preached this message that night, and I talked about the 4 cents that somebody gave. And I said, there was one girl, 32 cents. I came out that night, and there was 32 cents on my trailer step. Amen. I think one night there was 4 cents. One night there was 10 pennies. And the next night there was 32 cents on my trailer steps. You know, one of these young girls from the church. Couldn't have been, I went, Jenny, I think maybe 12 years old. Maybe 12 years old at the most. And she put the 32 cents on my trailer steps. You know, if we just had a heart like that. Amen. Just being willing to do what God would have us to do. Does everybody like to have a little bit for a rainy day? Absolutely. I don't mind having a little bit for a rainy day, preacher. The problem is, it usually rains like it did on you today, amen. And then that don't go far anyway. Hallelujah. Number 2, if you look with me, giving sacrificially. Hebrews in chapter 13. Number 1, remember, giving the first one, giving is an act of worship to God. And then number 2, giving sacrificially. Look at Hebrews in chapter 13 with me. And down to verse 15. And I want to read this to you. And some people will read this, pastor, won't get anything about giving out of it. All right, but I want to read it to you, and I want to explain, and I want to explain to you, amen. I don't know anything about the Greek or the Hebrew, but I love my Strong's Concordance, amen. And as you look at the text here, it says in verse 15, by him therefore, listen again, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now watch what he says. That is, he's going to explain it now, all right. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let me read that one more time for you. By him, therefore, in verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, now here it is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now he's going to add, but to do good and to communicate, verse 16, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. It's Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. That word communicate there is a very interesting word in the Greek language. It means, let me tell you what it means. It means fellowship. It means communion. It means communication. It means distribution, contribution, to communicate, fellowship and association, community, joint participation in fellowship or a close relationship, to share which one has in anything, participation, intimate relationship and intimacy and fellowship, the right hand of a sign of pledge of fellowship and fulfilling the apostolic office, a gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution is exhibiting an embodiment and proof of fellowship. So the second thought we have here, giving sacrificially, he says to communicate, forget not. That means don't just say this, don't come up and say, okay, now I'm giving God praise from the fruit of my lips, amen. And you did that. You did that this week when you sang a song. You give praise from the your lips, amen, to God. Sometimes maybe when you're out in public, you might say, praise the Lord. I don't know. If you do, I do, amen. And when you bow your head in a restaurant, restaurant, amen, and you say a prayer before your meal out loud, not like this, oh Lord, I got a headache again, oh, thank you Lord for food. No, not like that. You say it out loud, you're praying. You're praising God, and you're worshiping Him, and you're lifting up your voice, and you're communicating that you love the Lord, amen. But He says it's even more than that. It's not just the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate. Forget not. I mean, you can do all these other things. He said, but don't forget to communicate. Don't forget to give. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to do these things. Don't forget to deal with these things as believers in Jesus Christ. He says, forget not for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So sacrifices there, dealing with the idea of communicate, is not my talking, Pastor. It's my giving. It's what I'm dealing with in my heart. My heart has to be in this relationship with God as a child of God. There's a fellow many people don't know a whole lot about by the name of John Wanamaker. John Wanamaker was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He was the founding father, listen to this, of the modern day department store that sold groceries and clothing. Started off as a men's store, and then he started putting women's garments in there, having them made, and then he went from men's and women's, then he went to groceries, and then eventually at his death, someone else bought the company, and then when it went bankrupt, somebody else bought the company. It ends up becoming Macy's department stores, Pastors, years later, and they say that's where all the people today, the Myers stores in Michigan, which are usually bigger than Walmart's, amen, and then the Wegmans store here in New York, the big ones, you know, and then you've got Walmart and Target. All those stores came from the idea of this man who was a genius financially. This man who one time was a giver, but one time he made a trip to China to determine how well the money he had been given to modern missions was being spent. So here's the story. He came upon an old man in China plowing with a very crude instrument. It was pulled by an ox and a young man. Asking for an explanation about the young man with the ox and the yoke, he said he was told that the church that they had needed a steeple that could be visible from miles around so people could see it and come. Oh, he said, my son said, Dad, let us sell one of our oxen to buy the steeple, and I will take the place in the yoke of the ox that we sell. Wanamaker prayed. Here's what he came away with. And now they call John Wanamaker a Christian fanatic. You know, he was a fanatic, brother, you know. Maybe because of all he gave. Maybe because of where he stood on some things, I don't know. But he came away with it and prayed this, Lord, let me be hitched to a plow so that I may know the joy of sacrifice. Man. Well, how many of us would be willing to say that today? Lord, let me go through it like that so that I may know the joy of sacrifice. Let me be hitched to that plow so that I might understand what it means to sacrifice. And I believe possibly, Pastor, that I don't know if he ever sacrificed. He had money, you know. But I'll guarantee you, he gave just like J.C. Penney and many of the other ones who gave 90% and lived on 10%. I don't know how much Wanamaker gave. I never read anything on that. But I just know that he was a giver. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 5 says, He also is lively stone to build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Someone wrote, not bloody offerings, the blood of lambs and bullocks and those which are the offerings of the heart, the sacrifices of prayer and praise. Since there is a priest, there is also involved the notion of a sacrifice. But that which is offered is such as all to Christians offer to God, proceeding from the heart and breathed forth from the lips. And in a holy life, it is called a sacrifice, not because it makes an explanation for sin or an excuse for sin, but because it is the nature of worship. Nature of worship. Your sacrifice to God doesn't get rid of your sin, but it's the nature of worship. We ought to want to worship a holy God, amen. Worship Him in our giving. Worship Him in our sacrifice. Worship Him because of who He is. And you can worship God all day long, but if your heart is not where it ought to be, it's not going to mean anything. It's not going to mean anything. This has to be in the right relationship with Him. And then thirdly, if you're taking notes, write this thought down. Giving ourselves. Giving ourselves. This act, giving is an act of worship. This giving to the Lord. Giving in worship to God. Giving ourselves. Over in the book of Romans, and I touched on this here tonight for a little bit the other day. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know the verses, amen. He tells you, and I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said God's will is good for you, God's will is acceptable to you, and God's will is perfect for you, amen. Well, I tell you what, isn't that true? His will is perfect for us. Giving ourselves. I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This priesthood that you have between you and God, this sacrifice you got to be continually thinking about as a child of God. Look at Romans in chapter 6 with me for just a minute, for just a minute, amen? And down to verse 13. Neither yield ye yourselves, verse 13 in Romans chapter 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid, he says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We need to be giving ourselves to God, servants of righteousness, not servants of impurity and unholy and unrighteous and ungodly, but servants of righteousness as a child of God, giving ourselves to God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he makes this statement, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, he says, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christina Rossetti wrote these words one time. It says this, what can I give him as poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what can I give him? I will give him my heart. There was a missionary meeting in Scotland. I think someone said it was, I can't remember if they said it was Scotland who sent missionaries to Ireland first, or I think it was Ireland who sent missionaries to Scotland, and Scotland who sent missionaries to England, and England who sent missionaries to the USA. And now we got missionaries going back to England, amen, and going to Scotland and going to Ireland. And I made this statement one time. I said, I wonder And now we've got missionaries coming to our country from foreign countries because we're not meeting our needs here that we ought to meet, amen. And so now what's happening to America? One day if the Lord does not come soon, Pastor, it could possibly one day that we are such a heathen nation that they'll be starting Baptist churches in our country because we have a need to be saved here. How sad, amen, how sad that is happening today. But there was during this missionary meeting, the people were greatly moved, and they were generously to some missionaries to God's worldwide vineyard. And that makes me think of a faith promise type program, you know, where you give above and beyond your tithe. It says, little Alexander Duff was just 10 years old. And he sat in a pew, but his heart was strangely moved. He had nothing to give. Not one penny. Nothing to give. Little Alexander Duff got out of his seat and followed the ushers to the back of the church. And looking in the face of one of the ushers, the lad said this, "Please, sir, put the basket down low." And so the usher, catering to what he thought was a childish whim, put the basket on the floor. "There you are, my boy," he said, smiling. How surprised all were when the boy stepped into the basket and said, oh God, I have no money to give, but I give myself in the offering. Boy, I tell you what. Let me tell you a little bit about Alexander Duff. Alexander Duff went on to become a great missionary pastor in India. When he was to the point of his life where he was physically could not stay there anymore but come back to Scotland, he was meeting in the missionary committee meeting of Scotland, those who were sending missionaries out to foreign fields. Alexander Duff made this statement. He says, "In India, I would stand on a street corner and I would clap two shoes together if thereby I could claim the attention of the people to the things of Christ. That's what I would do." After 25 years, his health became so bad and broken down that he had to come home. He was enfeebled that when he addressed the General Assembly of Missions, halfway through his address, he sank down fainting on the platform. As soon as he revived, he said, "I haven't finished my speech. Take me back again," he said. He made him take him back up to the platform. Once more, he faced that assembly. And these are the words that he said, "Mr. Moderator, if it is true that Scotland has no more sons to give to the service of the Lord in India, then old man that I am, having lost my health in that land and having come home to die, I will be off tomorrow to let them know that there is one old Scotsman who is prepared to die for them. Gladly will I lay my life down on the shores of the Ganges if only I can plead once more with India to come to Christ." This was his passion for souls. What are we willing? What are we willing to do as children of God? Give ourselves. Gave himself to the point that only 25 years on the mission field, Pastor, and come back so sick he was ready to die. Well, I tell you what are we willing to do? What are we willing to do? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Two questions again. First question tonight is this: are you saved? Do you know for sure If you say, Mike, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I don't have a question of mine. I know for sure I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand? I know for sure without a shadow of a doubt. God bless you. You can put them down. Amen. Second question tonight is this. Did the Lord speak to your heart about anything? How many of you would be honest with me tonight and say, the Lord spoke to my heart? How about right now? Just slip your hand up in the air. God bless you. Amen. Others, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you tonight for these who raised their hand. Father, you know their heart. You know their need. God, I pray that you'd have the honor and the glory now during your invitation, Father. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. Lord, spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and come right now? Come on. You just slip out and come. Come on. God bless you. Amen. You come. Come on. God bless you. Amen. Come on. Lord, spoke to your heart. You slip out and you come. You slip out and you come. How about it? Somebody's raised your hand. You just need to slip out and come. Let God do in your heart what he wants to do. Let him do in your life what he wants to do. Let him have his will and his way accomplished in your heart and in your life. You slip out and you come. Let him do what he wants in your life. Maybe he's called you to do something that you're not sure about. You know God wants you to do it, but you're still questioning in your mind, in your heart. Nobody's ever too old or too young to be used of the Lord. Amen, preacher? Never too young or too old to be used of the Lord. God spoke to your heart yet. You can still slip out. There's still time. We just slip out and come. Father, I thank you for those who slipped out tonight, Father. Came to the altar, Father, getting some things. And Lord, it's not even getting some things settled with you. It's just, there's a challenge that has been given. And Father, you challenged their heart. I pray, God, thank you for that. And just ask you to have the honor and the glory now. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Preacher.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.